I just sent out through the chat the theme for this year, for our church theme, and I wanted to just talk to you for a little while today about this theme. Repent humbly, seek sincerely, and serve boldly. And this theme for this year came as a result of a group of people from Chinese and English congregations together. We have it for both congregations, one in Chinese, and a version of it, you know, the same thing that appears on the Chinese bulletin, and also it's been shared with the Chinese brethren. And I don't know about you, but my experience with church themes over the years has been kind of, you know, mixed. I think probably it has to do more with my maturity level and my ability to understand, you know, what church themes are about. There was a time in my life, and maybe this fits your scenario, where I felt like, you know, what does that mean to me? And I even questioned sometimes the leadership in the church and said, you know, what is this about? And are we really doing anything with this? But actually, that came from a spirit that was not in keeping with what God desires of us. And so I learned over time to think differently. To come and try to see it from the side of the people that gave us that theme and understand where they were coming from. And then most importantly, to look at the scripture that's connected to it and really seek God in that and then apply it to myself. So I want to encourage you to do the same thing in this theme this year. I believe, you know, since the time I've been in Grace Church, that this year is of a special value for us, probably because of the pandemic and all the things that we're facing in life. Things become magnified and they become a little bit clearer to us in that regard, because we are in need of something. You know, and that's actually a good thing. It's something that draws us to something more fervently, more seriously, a little bit more intent, with more intention. And so the theme came out of prayer. It came out of brothers and sisters from the Chinese congregation and the English congregation praying together and seeking God and what he would want for us for this year in Grace Church. And so that means you, for you and me, all of us together, to look at the things that God is calling us to. When I was thinking about sharing today, I was thinking, you know, if God gave us a theme like this, then that must mean that there is great hope in this year. That there's great things coming our way, because God has given us his word. And he has given us one heart to come together and to look at what he wants to share with us. You know what I'm saying? It's like, if he didn't do that, why would he give us a theme if there weren't things to look forward to for us in our lives here as a church in 2022? Right. And so that may sound kind of obvious to you, but there are great things ahead of us in 2022. And I think it has to do with that spoke, you know, the central of Jesus in our lives, and that wheel that drives us. Right. We're all coming together around him in that kind of a way. And so I just briefly want to introduce the three scriptures to, you know, so that you can get an idea of what the theme is about in principle, and then it'll be up to you what you make of it, right? With your life and seeking God and wanting to find out what this theme means for you personally, because I believe that that's what God is going to do. And that's one of the reasons it's so exciting. It's not just coming from me on Sundays to talk about the theme. That's one aspect of it, but it's for each one of us who is on this call today, on this Zoom call as Grace Church, to examine their lives and see what God is going to be showing you. And then you showing that to other people and sharing it in our church and outside the church. Right? And that's really what makes Christianity so great, so special. Right? And so Let's take a look at the first one. The scripture is found in 2 Chronicles in chapter 7, and I'll just read the verse, but I'm also going to go back and take a look at what is going on before this verse. It says, if my people, and this is God speaking, if my people who are called by my name humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and heal their land. Now, you probably have heard this verse before, you know, at least in some way. But the context of this is really interesting, and it really helps us to be able to understand what God is saying here, to know the background of what happened before this. And so in this part of Chronicles, it's talking about Solomon building a temple in Jerusalem for God. You remember that, right? Solomon was the son of David. He was the one who built this temple, had this temple built. And it was a place that he was offering to God. And so there was all kinds of preparations for that. And it really became one of the wonders of the world, if not the greatest wonder of the world. You know, you talk about the wonders of the world. You probably have heard of those, the Taj Mahal, things like that. Well, this was the wonder of the world, the temple. It was huge. It was humongous. It was massive. And it had all kinds of different parts to it. But the real purpose of it was for the presence of God to come there and meet with the people. And it was also a place of sacrifice. And so that's what Solomon did. He gathered all the people together, the people of God together there, to dedicate this temple, and he prayed for it. You know, he prayed to God in dedicating the temple to him. And in the midst of all the praying that he prayed to God, he said, Lord, if we, because of our sin, are going through storms in life, and he even mentioned plagues and all kinds of sickness and different things that fell upon them because of their sinfulness, because of their going away from God, by their not making God the center of the wheel. Then, you know, God, hear our prayers when we turn from those sins and forgive us, right? And restore us. And so Solomon, in his prayer, was initiating that to God. It was a very wise prayer by a very wise man who was given wisdom by God because he asked for it. And in that prayer, he was saying those kind of things. Now, you'll notice one of them, if I read this to you, what God said before the verse that we have in our theme. He says, I have heard your prayer, Solomon, and have chosen this place for myself as a house of sacrifice. And then he mentions one of the cases that Solomon had mentioned in his prayer. When I shut up the heavens so that there's no rain, or command the locusts to devour the land, or send pestilence upon my people, if my people, and God turns it around from where Solomon is saying, if we sin, then God do this. But he says, if my people who are called by my name humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and heal their land. So this is an amazing, amazing verse in this context, because it is God recognizing the prayer of Solomon, of a human being, and saying, I will do what you said. I will do that. If my people will pray, if my people who are called by my name humble themselves before me, meaning that they are turning away from those things that they were doing that are against my will, that are sinful, they humble themselves, pray, and seek my face. And seek is a big word in our theme this year, to seek my face and turn from their wicked ways. Then I will hear from heaven and I will forgive their sin and heal their land. And I believe that this is a very important verse for us, because our land is in need of healing. Right? We're not living at the same time as Solomon, But the word of God is eternal and it's real for us today. And so this is a very important place for us to be, right? To remember that. That when we fall away from God, God will hear us if we pray, we humble ourselves and pray and seek his face, turn from our wicked ways, then he will hear our prayers from heaven and forgive our sins and heal our land. And so I believe that what we really need to do is the beginning of this year is begin to humble ourselves before God. Almost, I would say, take ownership for what's going on around us and say, could it be because of me? I was praying that today on my knees. I was praying, God, if this pandemic is due to my sin, then God, I repent of all the things that I'm doing that are causing these kind of things. Right? And so hear my prayer, Lord, and bring your forgiveness and heal me. Heal me. Right? And we're talking about more than just physical ailment. We're talking about a spiritual condition that needs healing. Right? And so when we hear this and we see this, it's important. But, you know, it doesn't just stop there. This theme that we have with this verse needs also the second part to it. And God goes on to say to him, as for you, if you will walk before me as David, your father walked, doing according to all that I have commanded you and keeping my statutes and my rules, then I will establish your royal throne. So he's talking to Solomon as the king, as I covenanted with David, your father, saying you shall not lack a man to rule Israel. And so he's making a big, big promise to Solomon that he is going to bless him as the king of the people there and watching over them. But then listen to this. But if you turn aside and forsake my statutes and my commandments that I have set before you and go and serve other gods and worship them, I will pluck you up from my land that I have given you and this house that I have consecrated for my name, and I will cast out of my sight and I will make it a proverb and a byword among all peoples. It's going to become a proverb, this huge endeavor, this great temple that Solomon was building and had accomplished for God to be honored. He was going to use it as a proverb to point at how the people of God had turned from him as a warning and to show them the wickedness of humankind, abandoning the Lord, going after false gods, right? So it's important for us in this first part of this scripture here, and this first introductory scripture to our theme, to remember that God is calling us to pray. He's calling us to humble ourselves, to turn from our sins, right? To turn towards him, right? And have be finished with our wickedness, then he will hear our prayers. He'll heal us, forgive us, and bring healing to the land. However, if we turn away from God, there are consequences. We have to also have the understanding that that is part of this, right? We need to change in our hearts and be sincere, as the part of the theme says, to be sincere in following God, not just wanting forgiveness and healing so that we can keep going away from him, but that we will remain in him. Okay, so that's the first part of the theme, right? A very powerful verse that was offered up actually by one of our brothers in as a result of praying to God. And this is the one. But you can read through all of that story of Second Chronicles and see the amazing way that God interacts with Solomon, right? And see Solomon's prayer to God and the things that he says to God, right? But we want to have that in our hearts. We want to have that kind of an attitude. Now, the second verse comes from the book of Matthew, and it's a lot shorter, but it's very powerful. It's in Matthew chapter 3, verse 2, and John the Baptist came preaching in the wilderness and said, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." Repent. for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And so this introduces two things, repentance and also the kingdom. I don't know how many of you had a chance to join in with the CMC, but it was interesting that there were a number of people who were talking about the importance of the kingdom, which is another sign to us that we are not just part of something in our church, but we are a part of a global kind of a sense of needing to understand what the kingdom of God is about. And so that is something that is exciting before us. There's a wealth of biblical scripture that we want to get into and that you have a chance to look out for in your personal lives to see what this kingdom is all about. But the verse itself is from John the Baptist, and it's repeated in Matthew 4:17, where Jesus, when he began his ministry, said those same words, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." The kingdom of heaven is at hand. Repent. Right? And so what does this word repent mean? That's something that we want to examine this year, right? But it's basically turning away from our sins. You know, have you ever had in your life a time where you had an argument with someone, maybe in your family, maybe a friend or somebody that you normally, you get along with well, right? You have this kind of an ongoing relationship where you're okay, right? You appreciate each other, but then comes a day where something happens and you hurt each other, right? And you don't want to talk anymore. And so you go into another room or you leave the house, or you do something and you just don't want to be around that person. And then as time goes on, your little voice inside of you starts speaking to you and you begin to think about what happened there. Maybe you'll think like, I have to go home eventually. Right? I mean, I live there with this person. So it's kind of important that I something has to give, right? I have to do something. And you're reluctant to do it, but eventually it comes to the point where you start to feel like, maybe I shouldn't have said that. Or maybe I shouldn't have done that. Or, I acted like that. And then you start to think about that person and how much they mean to you. And you realize, yeah, maybe I shouldn't have said that. And maybe I do have a part in what happened in that argument or what went wrong. And so there's you go back and you look at the person and you come into the room and they're sitting there and they're not looking at you and they're looking away from you and you say, do you have a minute? And maybe if you're really fortunate, they'll say, okay, what? And then you have an open door and you say, I'm sorry I said that. I'm sorry I hurt you. I'm sorry I shouldn't have done that. And then slowly this gap and this tremendous hurt that was going on suddenly softens and there's a communication going on there and you start to feel like you're back together again. And there's a, hopefully, in these kind of situations, it can come to that place where you are back together. And I believe that that's really the description of what repentance is, right? You have a sense, you have an understanding that you have done something. Jesus, John the Baptist comes and he says, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And a massive movement of people start to converge on him because they're all recognizing that they need to do that. They need to come before God and say, do you have a moment, Lord? I'm sorry. I'm sorry I did that. I'm sorry that I acted like that. I know now I'm wrong. Can you please forgive me? And then Jesus comes forward and he says, repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. And people come up to them and they start saying, what are you about? Right? And so this sense of repentance is actually a very relatable thing for us when we think about it. It's not just this God thing where he says, repent, you sinner. It's this call to a return to where we need to be in a relationship with him. And then it also extends in our lives, our loved ones, our coworkers, our student kind of situations, teacher, everything in life, where we're exercising that and we're saying, you know, I'm sorry. And there's a sense of relief. The kingdom of God is at hand. The kingdom of God is at hand is a joyful thing, right? And so this repentance and returning is a happy moment. Let me read you something that John Calvin said. John Calvin was a reformer. He was from France, and he was driven out of France by the church because he stood up and said, some of the things that the church is doing are wrong. And they didn't like that, and so they drove him away. But he was a tremendous man of God, and he had wonderful things that he wrote about the Bible, and he's one of my favorite people to turn to. But anyway, it's not about John Calvin, it's about Jesus. But listen to what he had to say on the kingdom of God, the kingdom of heaven. The kingdom of God among men is nothing else than a restoration to a happy life. Now, this is one of the reasons that I'm so excited about getting into this year, because I never would have thought of that. You know, but he has helped us to be able to see the happiness, a restoration to a happy life. Now, that, if you think about what I just talked about before, where a person is having an argument with someone else and they said mean things to one another and they're not talking anymore, that is not a happy life. The happy night life, the return to the happy life comes when we start to realize that we are missing out on what God desires for us in our relationships to him and also to ourselves. So the kingdom of God among men is nothing else than a restoration to a happy life. Or in other words, he says, it is true and everlasting happiness. So I want to offer that today to you to take away. When you think about the kingdom, right? The kingdom of God, and you have something to really latch onto there. It is a restoration when we are close to God and we are living in the kingdom, and the kingdom life is the happy life, and it's a true and everlasting happiness that God alone offers, that Jesus Christ was offering. And so the people were like, oh man, I'm going to confess my sins. I'm going to repent of my sins. I want that. I want happiness. I want restoration. I want fullness, this beautiful feeling that God gives to us. Listen to this again. He says, in a word, the kingdom of heaven is nothing else than newness of life. And he quotes Romans 6:4 in that. Right? Newness of life. The kids introduced to us today, the youth introduced to us this beautiful things, right? And the newness of this new year. That's a great song for us. Maybe we can make it our theme song this year, you know? But he says, the kingdom of heaven is nothing else than a newness of life. And so to be renewed, to be forgiven, to have our sins washed away by Jesus is the kingdom of God at work in us. It's Jesus doing that in us and giving us a new life by which God restores us to the hope of a blessed immortality. Right? He says this, having rescued us from the bondage of sin and death, he claims us as his own. He rescues us and he claims us as his own children. You're a child of God. I'm a child of God. Hallelujah. Man, I'm made new. God loves me. I don't have to be separated from him anymore. And I can practice that in my life. When something goes wrong with somebody, I can do that same thing. Isn't this fantastic? I can have a happy life in any situation as long as I remember what Jesus has taught me and what he gives me and offers to me, that it's better in that kind of a way. And it's the thing that I want in life. And so even while our pilgrimage on earth continues, Calvin writes, we may enjoy the heavenly life by faith. We enjoy the heavenly life now, because that happiness is what heaven is really meaning to us. It's happiness forever with God. Now, I don't know about you, but I think that that is something that we can witness about. in whatever way it is. You could be a cook, you could be an accountant, you could be an artist, you could be a singer, you could be an IT person, you can be anything. You could be a person who engages with people. You could be a person who sits behind a computer and engages there. You could be in person. You could be away in any kind of situation, but it is all there because God is everywhere. And your witness is where God has chosen for you. I've been talking about this and thinking about this in all of my existence and working with young people and talking with them. Is to encourage them to know that they are uniquely made for beautiful things. Right? And the way to that is found through Jesus Christ. Right? Because we receive our life through him when we're born and then reborn in the newness of our spiritual life in Christ. And that's what he accomplished for us. And it's a free gift. And so you see how wonderful the Christian life really is. It's full of gifts from God. It's full of gifting other people. It's running next door to somebody's house and saying, like a child, instead of being an adult who is inhibited and feeling like, what is going to happen if I go and knock on the door? It's having a childlike kind of an attitude all of our lives, because that's what God does. He is our father. We are his children. It doesn't matter how old you are. You're a child of God. You have childlike behavior in the sense that God is using that faith, that trust that children have, that fearlessness of going up to somebody and saying these kind of things. That's what we really want to do this year, is to have that, for that boldness in the theme that we have, right? That's what it's saying. Serve boldly. Serve the kingdom of God boldly. Serve our King boldly. And so it's all about those different things in these two verses so far. And it's like, unleash it into this fellowship that we have here and go, man, go. Go with it. Take it. Bring it. Share it. Isn't it easy to remember happiness? You know, I love the way Calvin, this is this old dude from the old times, and here he is saying, the clue to life is to be happy. Right? That's really the goal of God for our lives, so that we're a part of his happiness that he wants for us. So the last verse, everybody, comes, and it's a very practical application of this. These are not the only verses, okay? These are introductory kind of verses. They're meant for you to look at and be inspired by, so that you can look further and start to share, you know, the kingdom and repenting and happiness and what God wants for us. So this one is probably the best known of all three, although all three are known. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. I was preaching a sermon to another church last year, the end of the year, and I was talking about the kingdom. And in the midst of that whole sermon, this verse came into my mind, and I realized that it was the one that God really wanted me to emphasize the most. It's very direct. Seek first the kingdom of God. Now think about that for a moment in your life and say to yourself, okay, so what does that mean for me? Seek first the kingdom of God. Seek first the happiness that is found in Christ. The happy life, the newness of life. Seek first that, right, in all of your life. And then we're bound to ask ourselves, okay, so what am I seeking? What am I after? What am I doing here? You know, what is it that I seek, that I'm looking for, right? But this verse in the section of scripture that it comes in is really Jesus Christ teaching. And one of the things that you would really do well to read through is the whole section of scripture for the Sermon on the Mount. And there's two gospels that have it. It's in Matthew and it's also in Luke. But to read through that scripture and to really make a point of going there as much as possible to learn from Jesus. Just imagine he was standing there on the mount preaching and teaching all of these people what the real truth in life, what the real truth in life is. Right? And so the beginning of this whole scripture, he says, don't be anxious about anything. Don't be anxious about anything. He's talking and he starts to talk about clothing, physical things. What did we just go through? A Christmas time where people are like so anxious. Anxious about what? I've got to get this gift for somebody before it's too late. I've got to get this for myself because the sale is going to end. I've got to get food on the table for it. I've got to go shopping. And so all this, you know, our society is a bunch of all of these human beings that are created by God that are all doing the same thing. They're not happy, right? They're not happy. They're anxious. I've got to get this before it's too late. And we're being fed by these ideas by people that know that it's going to work. Right? If you go on Amazon, how many times have you seen the thing? There's only one left. You better order now. I don't believe that personally. I think that they're lying. because it's a marketing tool. They're trying to get me to buy something so that I will just do it. It would be a great exercise to go back after you buy that last one and see if there's more. You know? So the anxiety that is built up, Jesus is talking about here. And so the anxiety is built around, I've got to have food, and I've got to have lots of it, and I've got to have a special kind, and I've also got to have a lot of stuff. I have to have a lot of things, physical things, right? Clothing. I have to get the latest kind. I remember I was telling our kids about this one time when I was growing up, and in our school, I was introduced to a lot of different things in high school, but one of them was Levi jeans. I had always been wearing these kind of like khaki colored clothes that my mother got for me from some old fashioned store in town. And, you know, the guy that dressed me was wearing the same clothes that the kids were wearing that bought this clothes from his store. I can still remember his name. He was a really wonderful person, but he was totally out of touch with what the kids needed to buy. Right. And so I was introduced to the need for Levi jeans and I had to have them. Right. And that was one of the things that I had an argument with my parents about. It's like, I have to have these clothes. You understand me? You know, you don't understand what it's like going into school. I'm standing out and I'm this khaki, you know, kind of kid that is going. And meanwhile, all these really cool in people that I want to impress and fit in with are wearing Levi's and they're wearing these kind of polo shirts and the sneakers. You know, and maybe you can relate to this even today, growing up, if you don't have the right brand sneakers, you know, I made the fatal mistake of going to this store and buying a pair of plain white sneakers when everybody in school had Adidas with the three stripes. And so what I did was I went home and I was so devastated and I was desperate. And so I got this black marker out and I drew three lines on my white sneakers so that I would fit in. But I was stupid because everybody knew it and they made even more fun of me because they said, look, he's written and he's drawn three lines on his fake Adidas. It's very traumatic, you know, being a kid. Being in high school, you go through all these different things. Like if you don't fit in, if you don't do that, you don't have this. So it's anything but happy. But I have news for you. I wasn't any more happy when I got the real thing and my parents broke down and gave me some jeans because it just continued to grow out of that anxiety. If it wasn't the jeans and it wasn't the Adidas sneakers, it was something else, because in the world, things are always changing and people are putting more anxiety to buy their things in the newest mode. And the old becomes old very, very soon, very quick. And you're supposed to get something new. And what God is saying to us, if you want something new, then get into the newness of life that I'm offering you. And don't worry about all these other things. I know it's hard. I know that there's pressure. I know all those things. But I'm telling you, if you trust me with your life, if you trust me that I know what's best for you, and you come to me, I will give you rest for your soul. I will give you peace that you can never imagine, that you'll never be able to find by fitting in with everybody else. And guys, I'm not saying that it's bad to get some things that, you know, and it is hard to fit in life. I'm not saying that. What I'm saying is that the newness of life that is being given to us here through Jesus is something that is long lasting, and it's not dependent on your popularity and fitting in. And that is something that we all have learned, and we need to learn, is that fitting in with society is never going to happen as a Christian. You're not going to fit in because we come from a different place. We come from a different kingdom. We come from a different world. It's God's kingdom. It's God's world, where he doesn't make fun of you for wearing the wrong jeans or the wrong shoes. You are loved because of your heart. You're loved because of you being you. And it's not anything else. And that is the beauty that we're talking about here. And everyone, I know that you know what I'm talking about today. There are so many people that feel that they're not beautiful. They feel that they're not accepted. But there's a place where they can be. And when people find Jesus, and when we come out and serve boldly, when we witness, where we put our faith, our obedience into action, like this wheel was teaching us, then God is going to bring us in touch with people who need to know it, that there's hope for them. And when our church is practicing those things, and I have every faith that we will be, because I know that God has prepared this for us for a good reason, then we will be a part of something that is happily eternal. And it is a part of a God who has a plan for us that far exceeds anything that can be found in this life. And it's free. Right. And so this whole message of the theme for our year for 2022 for Grace Church is tremendously wonderful. Right. It's just so great. You can look at it again. Repent humbly. Humbleness. Repent because there's something happy that is going to be restored. Seek sincerely. Seek God. Seek him first. Come into him, Lord, in this year before you. Offer that in every aspect of your life, and then serve him boldly. Why? Because you have this incredible happiness that has been given to you. Right? There isn't any reason to have anxiety. Right? Grasp onto the words of Jesus Christ. You all have the Bible. Right? We all have the Bible in our hands, and we only need to open it and see all of the beauty and the greatness of God and just how much he wants to bless you. Right? Let him do it. Take some time and be alone with him and go over the church theme, and then ask God, Lord, make it real to me. And help me to be able to share what you have shown me with other people in our church to your glory. Let's sing a song together as God speaks to us and continues to speak to us. We can sing the responsive song together.